Well, good morning. Good morning. That was nice and awake. It's like you all got an extra hour of sleep this morning. Wow. All right. It's so good to be here, to see you all, to worship with you all this morning, especially on a day as special as today, where we get to look forward to a baptism later in the service. Now, if you're new here, we're so glad you're joining us this morning. My name's Zach. I'm one of the pastors, along with Pastor Sue, who you heard give the call to worship this morning. And if you're new here and we haven't had the opportunity to meet or to talk, sorry. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet or to get to know each other yet, I'd love to get to know you after the service. Or if you look at your little cards that you got on your way into worship, there's this thing at the bottom where it asks for your name and number and a whole bunch of information about you. We won't spam it, I promise. But if you want to get in touch with me, you can fill that off, rip it off, and put it into the offering basket later in the service or in the boxes on your way out. And if you're online or listening to the podcast, you can visit our website, and there's information, there's ways to get in touch with us there. I'd love to get to know you either after the service or throughout the week. Now, before we get into anything, let's pray together. Oh Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts here this morning be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last few weeks, we've been going through this series that we've been calling Habits That Help. And what we've been doing is we've been looking through Scripture to see these habits that Scripture addresses, that Jesus actually partakes in, that can help our souls. So far, we've looked at the habit of Scripture reading, of prayer, and of Sabbath keeping. And these habits are a way of shifting our focus away from ourselves and onto God. They're also ways of forming us in the image of Christ. That's the goal, right? Paul writes to train yourself towards godliness, to grow in the likeness of Christ. And through these practices and making them habits in our lives, they help us do just that. And today we're going to be talking about another habit. It's the habit of being in community. We're going to do that by looking at what Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 12. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or if you're using a Bible in our pews, it's page 1636. We'll be getting that in a moment. But today we're not just going to be talking about the habit of community. In alignment with what we've been doing throughout this series, we're actually going to practice being in community with one another. So once I finish preaching, there's going to be another song, and then we are all going to be heading off to, it's Sue's condo complex, kind of kitty corner of us. There's a church, and then right next to us, there's condos. And what we're going to be doing there, we're going to be baptizing Priscilla, and then afterwards there will be a meal that we can partake in together where we can get to know one another and learn about each other. And by the way, if you need a ride there, please let myself or Amber know, or Ray's up there in sound. Amber's back there in coffee. Let one of us know, and we would love to take you over there. And this is just a time where we can practice being in community, and I want to say it's going to be really easy once I'm done preaching and we all kind of disperse to go home instead of go to Sue's place. And I understand that temptation, but I want to encourage you to fight it, because there's going to be food. but this is also a time for us to break bread with each other, to meet and get to know each other, to grow in the likeness of Christ together, to practice being in community with one another. But before we practice it, we're going to talk about it. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he just wrapped up writing about these things called spiritual gifts. It's how the Holy Spirit has distributed certain gifts, is working in the lives of certain people and equipping them with certain gifts. And he says that each person has received different gifts, but it's the same God at work throughout, and the purpose of these gifts is for the common good of God's people. And that's where we pick up with verse 12. Paul writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many." Now, the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. I'm going to start off by talking about one of my favorite YouTube videos of all time. It's taken from a scene at the end of a Star Wars movie, A New Hope. It's the first, but also the fourth Star Wars movie. And the end, it's the scene that's kind of this award ceremony. The three of the main characters, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Chewbacca, are walking down this big room filled with people, hundreds of people, to receive medals of recognition for what they had done, rescuing Princess Leia and destroying the Death Star, which is the enemy's planet-killing space station. And in the movie, the scene is accompanied by music composed by John Williams, who's one of the greatest film composers of all time. And it's this upbeat, celebratory tune that matches the mood of the moment. And in the scene, there's no dialogue, but there's a lot of like body acting, a lot of smiling and nodding to each other. At one point, the droid R2-D2 is just like shaking in excitement. Chewie lets loose a few of his famous shrieks. But there's no dialogue, and the music makes up for it, so it's okay that there's no dialogue. The reason I like this video so much is because it gets rid of the music, and you can see just how awkward the interactions are. It's titled The Importance of John Williams, and what you get is 2 minutes of this big celebratory moment of people mainly just being quiet. They added in a few like whispers in the crowd and then a person coughing towards the end of it. And it's awkward, and the video lives up to that title. And I don't know how often we think of the importance of the role of a composer for movies. You know, we see it as one very small part to a very large thing, a large project. But I think any Star Wars fan, as shown by this video, would tell you that John Williams is crucial to the success of that movie. In the same way, I've seen a lot of news about the Marvel franchise lately, which has been responsible for making most of the superhero movies in the past 15 years, and it was from Variety, I think, had just released a story that they did on them, highlighting the struggles they've been facing. You know, 10 years ago, Marvel was on top of the box office, and now they have a movie coming out this week that I think most of the world either doesn't care about or doesn't know about. And we keep getting the same complaints over and over. Mainly three that I see is that there's no overarching vision, the writing is uninspired, and the visual effects are subpar. And again, we don't really think about these people when we go and watch movies until what they're doing isn't great. But because the executive producers and the writers and visual artists are struggling, the whole franchise is struggling. In order for a movie to be successful, it takes a group of people with a variety of roles coming together. It takes a community of people using their special gifts for one greater calling, one greater purpose. And the same goes for the church. Church requires a community using their special gifts for one greater purpose, doing more together than they could do alone. Paul uses a different metaphor. He uses the human body. And in doing so, he makes a few different points. The first one is we're supposed to be united in purpose. The church should stand together with Christ at the head. We have one common mission as the people of God. One that Jesus gave us is to go out and baptize or make disciples, baptize and teach them what Jesus commanded. Here at Christ Community Church, we say our mission is to grow in the likeness of Jesus so that we can go out and show his love to the world. And we use our individual gifts in ways to further that one mission. Paul says we're one body through Christ. We've been baptized by one Spirit to form one body despite our differences. When you greet me in the morning, you don't say, "Hello, Zach," or "Hello, collection of all of Zach's body parts." That would be weird. You say, "Good morning, Pastor Zach, or PZ, or whatever you call me." In the same way, I didn't come up here and say, "Good morning, Amber, and Donna, and Graham, and Brianna." I said, "Good morning, Christ Community Church." Because we are one body, all-encompassing. And yet, while we are one body, we are each incredibly distinct. And that's why I would argue that being in community is a spiritual discipline. Because being with people who are different than you is hard, oftentimes. You know, when you have an eye who voted for Trump, and an ear who voted for Biden, a leg that lives in abundance, and an arm that's barely making it by, a knee that has a Black Lives Matter bumper sticker, and an elbow that has a Blue Lives Matter yard sign, a toe that loves the Warriors, a finger that loves the Lakers, and a weird thumb that loves the San Antonio Spurs. But diversity within a body is hard. It's hard to be in community with people who don't talk like you, who don't act like you, who don't look like you, who don't vote like you, maybe people who don't really even like you all that much. But it's our differences that make this church beautiful. Our differences that make the church a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is going to look like. We're all nations and tribes, all races and languages will be together. We are the body of Christ, and each one of us has a part in it. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." Each part of the body is specifically, especially unique and gifted for its role in the body. And the body needs every part to function. Just as a movie needs actors and writers and producers and sound techs and a whole bunch of other roles. They all need each other to succeed. an actor trying to make their movie on their own wouldn't get far without a cameraman. We're called to be a community that celebrates our differences, that relies on our differences. The human body is bound together in such a way that various parts of the body needs the others in order to do their own work. And the same is true with the body of Christ. No matter how important or insignificant you may feel to the life of this body, you're desperately needed. God equipped your neighbor with gifts that you need, and he's also equipped you with gifts that your neighbor needs. It's part of the body where we're called to care for one another, to have equal concern for each other, to be united with one another, which means to suffer with one another when we are suffering. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And we see this example in Christ himself, who saw us in our misery, in our suffering, and came and joined us in it, to learn what it means to suffer alongside of us, and then to suffer in our place, to take on a death that we deserved. And so when people are suffering in our body, we commit ourselves to suffer alongside them, to lament with them, and to care for them. And Paul also says, if one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. Again, we take our example from Christ here. Though dead, he rose again, defeating sin and death and inviting us to share in that victory, to rejoice in that victory. When others in the body are in times of celebration, we get to rejoice with them. That's the beauty of worshiping as one body. We get to mourn with those who are mourning, and we get to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Last week, we welcomed 7 new members, new partners into our church. And that's the commitment we made to them. And that's the commitment they made to us. To care for each other in times of sorrow. To celebrate with one another in times of joy. To live in a community. To be one body under Christ. To share one goal and yet each bring our beautifully unique selves into the fold. Today, in a few short minutes, we get to celebrate with Priscilla as she's baptized, and we're reminded of our own baptisms. She's baptized into this body, into this community. A body filled with unique people committed to unity through Christ and committed to love her as she commits to love us. A love that was made possible through the example of Christ Jesus himself. We express our need for her in our community just as much as we need everyone else in it. And we offer to support her, to suffer when she suffers and rejoice when she rejoices. Because that's what it means to be part of Christ's community, to be part of the body. It means to strive to live like Christ, to grow in his likeness so that we can go out and show his love to the world. And pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us one body. Thank you for all the joyful things that brings and all the burdens. Lord, help us with that. Thank you for the unique differences that you have equipped all of us with so that we can function. God, we ask that you help us rely on you in the hard times, to trust you in the mourning, and to help others mourn well. And Lord, we ask you to help us keep you in mind in the rejoicing. To know that you are the one who brings all good, and that we can celebrate with others in the celebrations. It's your name we pray. Amen.